Lord Christ, thank you for your words. Though spoken thousands of years ago, they are every bit as true today for us as they were then. So speak to us, Lord. May we have eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand, hearts to receive the gift of this gospel, your good news. Then may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I woke up this morning, looked at my phone, and it said 5:14 a.m. Not unusual for a Sunday morning. Also not unusual for a Sunday morning was where my mind went. Worry, worry, worry. I hope this sermon's good enough. I hope I've prepared. Did I include enough illustrations? Worry, worry, worry. I have facilitator's orientation after the 11 o'clock service. Oh, I know I'm not very well prepared for that. Well, I was at the shotgun range yesterday with the guys, and well, that was fun, but I didn't get to what I needed to get to. I hope it goes okay. Maybe our small groups are going to fail. Worry, worry, worry. We're going to Toucan into camp on Tuesday. Is the trailer ready? Did I fill up the tires? Are the tanks ready to go? How are the batteries? Worry, worry, worry. And I thought of my friend Bill Wedberg. How's Barb? Wonder about the kids. How are they going to get through this? How am I going to get through this? How are we going to get through this? Worry, worry, worry. Pretty good at it. I've had almost 50 years of practice. But then I thought, Jesus has a different way. Jesus says, if I'm a disciple, I don't need to worry. Isn't it ironic that I'm preaching about worry? In the kingdom of God, our way is different than the kingdom of the world. If you remember, in the kingdom of God, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted. Did you hear it? Blessed are those who mourn. In the kingdom of the world, these are considered curses. In the kingdom of God, if you remember, you are salt and light, but in the kingdom of the world, you are saltless and darkness. In the kingdom of God, murder is anger toward another. Adultery is lust. Retribution is God's. And love is for your enemies. But in the kingdom of the world, well, killing is murder. Infidelity is adultery. Retribution is yours. And love is all but for your enemies. In the kingdom of God, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting are to be done in secret to please God. In the kingdom of the world, these things are done out loud to please others. In the kingdom of God, your treasure is in heaven, your eye sees light, and you serve God. In the kingdom of the world, your treasure is in the world, your eyes see darkness, and we serve money or something we put in God's place. And then today we hear, in the kingdom of God, we don't worry about our life or our food or our drink or our clothes, but in the kingdom of the world, you run after all of these things. So there I lay in bed, fighting between that tension. Am I in the kingdom of God? For a moment. Am I in the kingdom of the world? For the next moment. then the kingdom of God, then the kingdom of the world, then the kingdom of God, and then the kingdom of the world. And I thought I was just going to tear apart right there in bed. Do you ever feel that way in your life? But Jesus clearly sets a different way for us to live and act in the kingdom. And you know what the key is? Are you ready? Are you leaning forward? Are your ears perked? Here's the key. Jesus finally, at the end of chapter 6, we've already gone through chapter 5, we've already gone now through chapter 6. Chapter 7 is the only chapter left. In the end of chapter 6, Jesus finally gives us the key. Verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Did you hear that? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first God's righteousness. Of first priority and importance, we live a different way in the kingdom of God by seeking the kingdom and righteousness. And what does this mean? Three things. First, to seek the kingdom and the righteousness of God, Christ-likeness becomes the kingdom's highest goal. Christ-likeness becomes the kingdom's highest goal. When we're asked about what is discipleship or spiritual formation or transformation, sometimes we're at a loss. Well, I'm not sure really what. Does it mean I have to do more? Do I pray more? No, it's Christ-likeness. In the Gospel of Matthew, the 4th chapter, so a few chapters before this chapter, we're reminded that Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus' first message was always, the kingdom has come, the kingdom is near, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom of God is the message, the good news of Christ Jesus. And the miracles of Jesus, His healing, His works, were all to give evidence that the kingdom had come already in the person and work of Christ. In a like way, in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew records, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Again, the proclamation of the kingdom of God and evidence of the kingdom of God, that it has come in the person and work of Jesus, given by His miraculous works and deeds. So seeking God's kingdom and righteousness means allowing ourselves to be transformed into the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. We put ourselves in that place that God transforms us, that we might day by day, moment by moment, and it's more like a snail's pace, not a rabbit's, begin to look more like Jesus. That, by the way, is why we're going to study Mansions of the Heart by Thomas Ashbrook. We're entering into these small groups. We're asking you to prayerfully consider joining one. And our first curriculum is a 14-week study of what it means to be transformed into the image of Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And put worry aside. Number two, when we seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, Holy Spirit living becomes the kingdom of God's power. It's not our power anymore. It's the Spirit's power. We actually surrender control. We actually give over authority. We actually submit ourselves to God. Romans chapter 14, verses 17 through 18. Paul, in a very developed theology, Romans was probably Paul's last book written. He had a whole lifetime of thinking about God and the scriptures and putting together his theological thoughts and underpinnings. And so he says, in a very, I believe, clear mind and developed theological mind, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. You see, it's not about the things that we do or the things that we don't do. But, Paul continues, the kingdom of God is of righteousness. That makes sense. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing both to God and receives human approval. You see, seeking God's kingdom and righteousness means surrendering to the Spirit of the Son, Jesus Christ. Giving over your life and everything. It's not about doing more. It's not about praying more. It's not about reading more scripture. It's not about giving out more food. It's not about taking more mission trips. Even though those things are important and give evidence to our life that's lived in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not about those things. My son Ezekiel is at Eastern, and he got involved with a Christian club on campus. He was asked to go to a special outing with this club. And so they prepped him, and they said, we're going to come, and we're going to kidnap you, and we're going to take you off for a fun night together with some of the rest of the group in this Christian club. And Zeke thought, all right, this sounds fun. You know, maybe we'll go go-karting or bowling or, I don't know, whatever kids do these days. Video gaming, is that the thing? I don't know. So they picked him up. They took him to a lecture hall on campus. And they said, as you come in, we don't want you to worry about time or social media or being on your phone. So just, you know, drop your phone off with the people at the door and then come have a seat. So he sat down with the rest of the group. And for the next 90 minutes, yes, that's right, hour and a half, they pitched to Ezekiel that if he were a true Christian, he would go on their mission trip this summer for 9 weeks to evangelize in Lake Tahoe. Now, I thought to myself, 9 weeks in Lake Tahoe, that's not so bad. But he felt duped. He felt suckered. He says, Dad, why did they do that? He says, it's as if I'm not a good enough Christian yet, that I have to now go on this 9-week mission trip or I don't love Jesus. That's what they told me. I said, well, they're right. You better go. Just kidding. You're with me, right? You see, seeking Christ's kingdom and his righteousness does not mean do more. It means put yourself in that place that God can transform you. And then lastly, number three, seeking God's kingdom and righteousness means that the church, capital C, and our church, little c, becomes the kingdom of God's manifestation in this world. What I mean is that the church gives evidence of the kingdom around us. That the church is the kingdom of God. Because the church is where God has rule and reign, isn't it? Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. Jesus says to Peter, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Peter is just given a profession of faith. Jesus has asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some say Elijah, some say great prophet. And then Jesus personalizes it and says, well, who do you say that I am? And then Peter responds, and by the way, so did the rest of the disciples later, but Peter responds and says, Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus then says, yes, Peter, and on this proclamation of faith, on this profession of faith, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And then verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, many have interpreted this as Peter gets the keys of the kingdom, but I don't think that's right. I think the antecedent to this pronoun is the church. The church is given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So then, Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Seeking God's kingdom and righteousness means participating in the body of His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ-likeness is our goal in the kingdom. Holy Spirit living is where our power comes from. And the church is where we participate in the kingdom activities. We can worry. Food, drink, clothes, and the rest of it. Or we can receive the gift of the Spirit, live in God's kingdom, seeking first His righteousness. Worry leaves me exhausted, tired, hopeless. Seeking God's kingdom and righteousness leaves me with the power of God through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to choose the Spirit. How about you? Amen. Please stand now and join us.